For 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
O'clock hour, that is our topic specific hour where we bring in experts and guests from around the state and focus on one area of your house, home, castle, or cabin. August has been water month here at Rosie on the House, which is a big part of our foundation. All this work, all this effort, you know, is only as good as the foundation that we're building on top of. And a strong foundation, even though it's built, can be subject to water, conditions under the soil. And so we've brought in Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solution, who, Mr. Brown, well, let's first introduce you, the guest you've brought with you, Mr.
Sure.
Dave Dethridge.
Absolutely. I brought Dave Dethridge, the president of Copper State Engineering. Say hi, Dave.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Romy. Glad to be here.
So give us a little bit about your background and the service that Copper State Engineering specializes in.
We are, Copper State is a geotechnical civil engineering firm. We started it in 1996. My background is I graduated from Arizona State University in 1980 with a master's degree in civil engineering with a specialty in foundations. Since 1996, we've worked on about 4,500 jobs. A lot of them are soils problem related, where you have collapsible, compressible soils, expansive soils, or inadequately compacted fill, gets wet, settles, or heaves under houses with resultant damage.
All of those things triggered by water, right?
Exactly. Water is pretty much the activator of most of the soils problems we have.
And a lot of people, well, we hardly get enough, 7 inches of water. We're not talking a lot of rain here. What's the big deal? Well, we've got irrigation that we introduce into the properties because of the extreme highs and lows. You know, all those 7 inches, it's not like it's spread out. We get those in a couple different rainstorms here and there. So we have large quantities coming very fast, drying up very fast. It creates very reactive conditions in the soil. And one of the interesting things when we were putting this program together, I was thinking about, Bob, is, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, I remember being on job site with you in Ahwatukee, which was an old proving ground at one point. So this entire community is built over a lot of moved earth.
Right. That's exactly right. That's where they would go and test the tractors. And, of course, a lot of dirt got moved around, and nothing was compacted in a controlled way. And so there's been some issues up there as a result of that.
And you were talking that so many of these cases where it looks like what people think is settling, well, the opposite's happening. You're
right.
Dealing with heaving situations, and you say, you know, if we could ever figure out a way to deal with a heave, we could solve a lot of these problems better. Well, fast forward, you've kind of been the mastermind behind this, this your own little patented process to deal with heaving.
Correct, and I have to give credit to Dave because it was really a lot of his ideas that pushed us in this direction. I mean, Dave was talking about this project that he had where he had some issues and wrote a paper. Dave, why don't you tell a little bit about it?
I was for a period of time working for an environmental engineering company, and we were putting in wells and evaporating gasoline where there were leaks at gas stations out of the ground. In the process, we noticed that not only were we getting gasoline vapor out, but we were getting moisture out. And if you're in an arid environment, similar to Maricopa County, if you're drawing moist air out, you're drawing dry air in. And what we saw in some cases was as we dried the soil, if it was clay and it was moist clay to start with, it would dry out and shrink as it dried out. So we were actually worried about that. If we dried the soils under these gas stations, we were worried we were going to damage the buildings. Fast forward to today, if you've got expansive soil that is being wetted under a building, you can extract air, and dry the soils in the process. Because we're in an arid environment, the air that comes back in is drier than what you're pulling out, and you can cause these wet, expansive soils to either stop expanding or, in some cases, to dry out and shrink back to where they were.
And all of this as it relates to the soils that's under our home. Every square inch of our home is built on top of a soil. And last hour, I kind of got high-centered on this concept of building a perfect home. And when I was building, I know, Bob, you were saying, if we would just put structural pins underneath these foundations at the beginning, we would never have to come back and do this. What does the perfect foundation and soil condition for you look like?
Well, I think the foundation needs to be designed with the soil conditions on site. So the first thing to do is to get a good geotech and do an investigation and then design your foundation accordingly. And, you know, that could involve piles. Maybe, you know, it's all a matter of cost. If you want to spend the money, but maybe you don't really need to based on the soil conditions.
And when we're putting in a foundation in a home, there's a couple different ways that it's poured. There's the conventional slab on grade, and then there's a post tension that, what is that, about a 25, 30-year-old practice that became mainstream?
They started building post-tension slabs regularly around 2003, so it's been about 15 years or so.
And what has that time frame shown you guys? Is that a better practice, or do you like the conventional slab on grade?
I personally like the slab on grade, the conventional system, better personally, because there's the problem with the post-tension system is it just doesn't have any edge protection. Water can get under it super easy, and nowadays they're building them really thin, 5 inches thick, which I think is a little bit insane. Dave, I don't know if you have
post-tension slabs are flexible. I think they're oversold as being a mitigation for soils problems. A lot of times they do less prep in a site that has post-tension, and that's not a good idea. Conventional foundations, the three-pore foundation system, you have an 18-inch deep cutoff all the way around the house with, like Bob was saying, with post-tension slab, you have just a slab that's buried maybe 4 or 5 inches on the perimeter of the house. Water can get under the house. Roots can also very easily get under the house and extract water. There's areas that have been historically irrigated, Gilbert, for example, where you have expansive clays. Those clays are wet when they start building on top of them. And one of the problems is they're pre-expanded. If you build a house on top and roots from mesquite trees or Palo Verde trees get under there and they withdraw that water from those expanded moist clays, the clays shrink and it looks like settlement. The end of the house will go down 2 or 3 inches. The house will crack up and break. And you're going, oh, do I have settlement? No. What you've got is shrinkage of clays that were historically irrigated. And it's relatively common in the valley for this condition.
Now, it would take significant roots. I don't know that a home has ever had to, been in danger of not being structurally sound, even with that type of cracking. But you don't have a sellable property at that point, though. Who's going to buy that?
Right. It all has to do with what they call serviceability. It's rarely the house going to fall down. Rarely. Almost never. But, it's a serviceability
issue.
That's what
they call fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's all basically serviceability. I mean, do the doors function right? Do the windows function right? Can you sell the house? Is it, are you embarrassed to bring your family over to look at it? Those are serviceability issues.
Yeah, I understand the need for our housing to be affordable for people to buy and move into, but it just the amount of sacrifice and structural soundness that they'll give up for convenience and luxury that are temporary just
right.
Has always baffled me. Build, invest in the structural soundness of it, and then later you can add on the glitz and the glamour that you might want, or the extra media center, or the upgraded countertops. All these things that are going to be replaced eventually anyway. Don't build a foundation you're going to need to replace. That gets pretty expensive because you have to get back down to the foundation.
Right, right. And home builders just don't have that kind of long-term thinking.
They blow and go.
They build as cheaply as they can and put all the upgrades so that you can see and don't worry about the ones you can't see.
And what are you leaving to the next family, or the next five families? There's not going to be. And the amount of construction debris and waste that just ends up back in landfills that has to get mined back out of some new site anyway, it's just... It's such a waste of raw materials.
Well, we're working on a building now that's built on top of a landfill, and it's had about 15 inches of settlement.
15 inches.
Yes.
I won't ask. I'm the next question. Where? What landfill? But, we won't we'll save that for another time. So what are signs that homeowners can use to identify? And your home will tell you if it's shrinking, cracking, shrinking,
absolutely,
heaving. Well, what are those obvious signs?
Well, the easiest one is to look at your drywall. It's a better indicator than stucco, because stucco has thermal expansion and contraction. So I try to look at the drywall, look at windows, look at doors, look at your sloping your floor. That's the basic ones to look at.
And we're not talking just foundations either. I remember a project working that y'all did with us where we don't build homes with fireplaces in Maricopa County and other counties in Arizona anymore, but a true wood-burning fireplace, the foundation on it had started to slip away on one side, and the fireplace was coming off the home, and we just kind of stood it back up and rebuilt the foundation underneath it.
Yeah, and that can either be from the foundation, the settling, it can be from that, or it could be from heaving in the middle of the home, pushing the fireplace and chimney out. So it's easy to get settlement and heave mixed up.
So if you've got what you think may be a foundation problem, or you do have one and you want to know the next course of action, or talk it through or get a second opinion, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We'll put you right in touch with the studio. And Mr. Bob Brown and Dave Deathridge. Sounds like I need like a heavy metal intro for you.
You got it.
Alice Cooper lives like 6 miles away. Maybe he'll come do the intro for Dave Deathridge here at Rosie on the House. We'll be right back.